In a series that I titled The Contentious Faith, which is the Christian faith. And we continue to warn, the truth is, the Christianity has been so perverted until it is difficult to differentiate truth from error. The whole thing is so confused until we cannot get what is actually the original Christian faith. The confusion is too much. But we have a duty as watchmen. That is all we're trying to do. Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, let's read it. Let's
For
read
many
it.
Many walk, of whom I have told you often.
Many here are in the church, Christians, so-called Christians.
Of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
They are the enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, this gospel has enemies. The enemies are not unbelievers outside. They are not operating from outside. They are operating within the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And it is a worldwide setting. Verse 19.
Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things.
They have no shame in whatever they do because their conscience is totally darkened. That is why Apostle Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Huh?
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Uh-huh.
And that word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Emmanuel and
Philetus. These were apostles. They were apostles. They were known as apostles in that time, that first church age. What were they doing?
Who concerning the truth have heard?
They are preaching error. What were they saying?
Saying that the resurrection is past already.
And what is the effect of their error?
And overthrow the faith of some.
Everybody, they overthrow the faith. What is it to overthrow the faith? They destroy the hope of many. The reason for them to live a godly life. To continue and push on despite whatever difficulty because the hope of glory has been destroyed. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, this was the message to the first church age.
I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and now thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles.
Again.
And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles.
Now them say they are apostles.
And are not.
And what happened?
And has found them liars.
You found them to be liars. Those must be the Berean Christians. Before they accept anything, they go and cross-check. And my little exhortation today, I title it, Behold the Apostles of Satan. Behold the apostles of Satan. Church, follow who know road. Follow who know road. Because in Matthew 5 verse 14, he said, if the blind shall lead the blind, what will happen? He said, they will fall to the ditch. How can a blind man lead people that are blind? So where are you going to? How can people who don't know the road to heaven lead you to heaven? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can people who don't know road lead you? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And a blind man wants to show you the way. Do they know Jesus? And so God described them. It's not today they started. Wherever children of God are, they are there. In Jeremiah 23, let's read it from verse 21. Jeremiah 23, what did he say?
I have not sent this prophet.
God said he didn't send them.
Yet they ran.
Yet, like Ahimaaz, they are running.
I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied.
It is not the one that spoke to them, yet they are teachers. When we say prophet here, I've been telling you, it's a New Testament preacher. Every preacher is prophesying.
But if they had stood in my council and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of
their tongues. That verse 22 again.
But if they had stood in my council.
If they had stood in my council, and his counsel is the word of God, the Bible, and had caused my people to hear my words, then the sinners, the people of God, should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. See what is happening in Christianity, because those who claim to be apostles, teachers, pastors, they are on their own. Whatever they are preaching is not the counsel of God. Read on.
Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, said the Lord, and not a God afar
off? Because how can a Christian comfortably participate in BB Niger? And there is a pastor. He belongs to a church. Where they naked themselves and then say they are doing beauty parade. They belong to one church or the other. All occultic people, there are people that go to church and still go to sorcerers. Now say, make I not use Babalao. Sorcerers. Wait a minute, the other name again. Which doctor? Because they were not. How can a Christian sister dress like a prostitute and the pastor is saying, you know, you look beautiful? Follow who no road. That's the truth now. That's the problem we have. Can we continue that reading, please?
Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that shall not see him? Say the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Say the Lord. I have heard what this prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name.
Lies in my name. Say what?
Saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit,
of their own hearts.
Which seem to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor.
What is the effect?
As their fathers have forgotten.
Verse 27 again. What is the effect of all the nonsense they do?
Which thing to cause my people to forget
they
my name?
They cause my people to forget my name.
By their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor. As their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal.
Can you see? You know now people have shipped away from Jesus to their pastor. They have shifted away from the Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Brotherhood, to their church. If you are not a member of Brother Assembly Church, you are not my brother. You are not my sister. It happens even in this church. It happens. So you are more proud of belonging to Brother Assembly Church than belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why if they speak anything against your church, you are ready to kill that person. But if they speak anything against the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, it doesn't matter. Nothing. How can a living church bring a comedian to the altar to make a jest of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ went through on the cross on Calvary? Follow who no road. That same scripture, verse 31 and verse 32. What? did God say concerning them?
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not,
I didn't
nor
send
commanded them,
them.
Therefore, they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord.
You see? Church, they say we criticize too much. Please, I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I may not know how to preach, but listen to what I am saying. I may not use the right language, but catch the message I am conveying. It is the message of salvation. It is a message that will set us free. It is bringing us back to track. Back to track. We have gone off under the teachings of this self-appointed apostle. An apostle of Jesus Christ is not just by implication. The meaning of apostle is actually the one that was sent. The one that is sent. Amen. Just forget the office, the fivefold ministry office. Generally, also, an apostle is telling you, God sent me to do this. God sent me to do this. And usually, what God has sent me to do, hallelujah, what he's actually trying to tell you to listen to him, is arrogating to himself an authority of a special ministry from God. And they know how to package themselves. And with the aid and help of the social media now, everybody, there is a free market now to market whatever you have. And they know how to do it. Their media department, they are specialized in marketing their error until they have flooded the whole media with all that they have to sell out. And they have big markets. They are the ones that are referred to today as the leaders of the gospel. Why will they come to the church? What is the purpose? It is a satanic agenda. What is their ministry? Their ministry is anti-Christ. Enemies of the gospel. If you don't have this at the back of your mind, as you go along in your Christian faith, you will not know what to resist. That is why we keep hammering here. Hey, now church. Until even when you go to a witch doctor, once he keep Bible by his side, you say he's of God. Because you know no better. They say Antichrist shall come. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 18, he say, they are already here. Antichrists have come already. They've already started. What is their purpose? Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 is the purpose. Apostle Paul put it there. Let's read it.
I'm mindful that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Into another gospel. What is it?
Which is not another.
But what?
But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Their ministry is to pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. To pollute the gospel of salvation. To pervert the gospel of salvation. Who sent them? Who sent them? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Who sent them? From verse 13. 2 Corinthians, I mean to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
For such are false apostles.
2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. Who are they?
For such are false apostles.
He's describing them.
Deceitful workers.
They are deceitful workers,
transforming themselves into the apostles.
They are
of
the ones that transform themselves into messengers of God, apostles of Jesus Christ. Listen.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is.
Satan himself transformed into a preacher of the gospel. And no marvel, their God, Satan himself, has what?
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
He has his ministers. That is my emphasis. If this scripture does not make you to be cautious, then you will remain blind forever. In Lagos, there is something, a crime they call one chance. If we know it is so common until every bus shouting, Oshodi, 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 every Lagosian is first cautious. Before you enter, you go look the conductor. You go put your head before you enter. Because if you enter, you are finished. If you enter the wrong one. And thank God for social media. Before you enter, it's very easy to know them. Before you enter a taxi, anywhere, if you tell the taxi in Lagos, say, wait, I beg, I want to snap your motto plus your face. If you say, no, 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 then say, thank you, you can go. There are one chance of churches. There are one chance of pastors. Hey, before you enter church, look left, look right, look altar, look the person, look, hey. Okay. Praise the Lord. There are prophets that the day you met them, that was the day your trouble started. Okay now. Hallelujah. Who are they? They are agents of Satan. Who are they? Jesus Christ called them false prophets. He warned us they shall come. Matthew 24 verse 3, he says so. But 3, 4, 5, he said one of the signs of his coming will be the proliferation of these false prophets. And who are they? They are the enemies of the cross. And don't think they started today. They started immediately the church of Jesus Christ started. That is why 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Apostle Paul said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. How? He started walking at that time. How were they walking? In Revelation chapter 2 verse 6. Let's read it. This was their beginning.
But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
In the first church age, there was the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Which I
the
also
the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which he said he also hates. What are the deeds of the Nicolaitans? They started at that time. That was when they began to inject something. They injected something. What did they inject? They began a deliberate assignment. Ah, this Satan, eh? Ah. If God is not with you, there's nobody Satan cannot pull down. That's why he said, he who thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. I've said this before until you are hearing me for the first time. In the restoration ministry, which is the shout, our Sunday school teacher spoke it. The first response was justification. Then, sanctification, holiness was restored to the church. The holiness that was restored to the church using John Wesley and the revival he spearheaded. It was such that holiness was such that when you see a Christian, even with the outward appearance, you will know this is a Christian. Both men and women. You know, in this ministry, we only look at women. And we forget men. Women have their fashion. Their fashion is designed to seduce. The men have their fashion. The fashion of men is designed to make them appear irresponsible. Make them like mad men on the street, mad people. If not, why will a man go and carry trouser and tear it into pieces and wear it on the street and be going? You know your head is not normal. You know, it's mad people that dress in rags. It didn't start when he wanted to conquer Nikao. It is the word that translates conquer. Nikao is to conquer. Laity, the church, to conquer the church. In the first church, it was a deed, actions that they were doing deliberately. One of the actions, one of the things they did was to make sure that the state, and it was Satan that was doing it, to make sure that the government, the Roman Empire, dictatorship, recognized or was brought in to be the head of the church. Church and paganism, their pagan religion, matched together, they were able to bring in the king. Or remember, it is Rome. To bring in the king to have authority over the church. So that when a decree is passed, he backs it up. If you, there is a law passed, they were able to make the law in such a way that if you disobey what the bishop says, you will be guilty of heresy and you'll be sentenced to death. The act was done and the church was conquered. It started small. What did he call it? He said there were those that hated the deed of the Nicolaitan. They hated it. But by the time you come to verse 14 is the third church age.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam.
And what?
Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat in sacrifice unto idols, and to commit fornication.
And then
so
what?
Hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
There are two doctrines. Which thing he, God, also hates. Hey, take note of that. What became a deed? What was a deed in the first church age? As time went on in the third church age, it became a doctrine. And the church has been conquered. So whatever the pulpit says, you either obey it or you die. Now it has come to stay until they now teach it. Do you know that you cannot be a priest until you go through some other processes by the church? It is no more the call of God. You have to have some certificates. The hierarchies, we are properly established until church members worldwide, the things that the pulpit is doing, they think that that is Christianity. It has become a doctrine. until they don't know that it is the deed of the Nicolaitan that produced the doctrines that once they call you, remember that hierarchies were established. Where you are promoted from ordinary pastor to reverend, to this, to that, to this, until finally you meet the highest one, the Pope, which nobody can take it, only one man. Pentecostals will follow. Everyone follow. All the Protestants, they follow because it has become a doctrine. You yourself, if you enter any church now, you don't need anybody to tell you where is the pastor's wife. The seat will tell you who she is, where she's sitting. I hope you understand. You don't have to wait to be introduced. Who is the pastor? Because at the gate, his picture is there. And he doesn't come to the altar until there is a standing ovation. People are trained to welcome the man of God with somebody carrying his Bible. They copied it from the Catholic Pope. How could they fight with this? They want to be humble. It is the doctrine that has entered their head. I carry my Bible. Daddy, give me. I said, what's your problem? Give me the Bible. What's your problem? Now, you grew up to see that a man of God does not carry his Bible to the altar. It has become a doctrine. Go and see the seat. Very reverend. Reverend. Most senior reverend. Where they sit. You think that is a king. I'm trying to make you understand. God is saying that thing. He said he hates it. You don't understand that. You're thinking it is history. It's in the church. It's still on. Anything that has become a doctrine, that means it has come to stay. People teach it. Immediately, God call you. Just watch all of them. God called me to start a church. Five people now, they don't start. Oh. Five people now, them that church, they don't start. You will have one special seat. Himself, his wife, with one rock where he will sit on top. Then they will give the rest wooden benches. The other three people to sit down there. Because it has become a doctrine. To them, if you don't do like that, they will not think that they are a church. It has become a doctrine. The deed of the Nicolaitan. And in that same age, there were those also that were holding on to the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? These are all satanic agenda. You have to understand what the story of Balaam is first. In the book of Numbers, where he was hired to curse Israel. But God told him, you cannot curse whom God has blessed. Hallelujah. But there was an inducement. A lot of money is involved if he can do it. And he said, look, if you want to curse these people, forget anything you do. Make enchantment against Jacob. It shall not stand. What you should do is do something that will make them have problem with their God. Do something that will make them break a law of God, a commandment of God. And let me tell you, Balak, there is a commandment that says they should not be unequally yoked with these unbelievers, that they are moving along the road to their promised land. They will meet with people. They will meet with cultures. They will meet with different people from all over the world that they will be moving on. He warned them, they should not yoke with them. Don't practice what they practice. Don't marry from among them. That is the instruction. Balak, just make them to break one of these. And let me give you an example. These people, they are starving. They have been in the wilderness for long. Organize a feast. Tell them we are brethren, we are one, it's the same God. Tell them you are traveling, we want to make a feast before you pass and go. And then, now get ready. Let the women dress like this, very seductively. And then tell them to come for the feast, we will see what they go to. And they went to the feast of Baal, the Bible calls it so. And they saw what they could. Remember that it was an agenda. So the women will be specially selected and trained. Do you think it is by accident that a woman coming to church, not this type of church, where women sit different, men sit different, they normally get disappointed when they come to such a church? They may only operate during one-on-one counseling with the prophets. Where they are going to sit and mix with men and women. Do you think that those who have that agenda prepared by Satan, do you think that they will dress well to come? They are coming to make sure you don't concentrate on what is happening. David, did they hear me? You try. You dance very well. So you are tired. I know you dance very well. Praise the Lord. Do you think that? No. Go to those churches you will see now. There is a language. They dress to kill. Let me dress to kill. Kill who? You know who they want to kill. Amen. Church, let me tell you, when the Church of Jesus Christ started, I've been saying it, this holiness revival started, Satan began a deliberate assignment. The Bible says, if you look to a woman and lust in your heart, you're already guilty of adultery, of fornication in your heart already. So, which proper man, which dose of Holy Ghost you get, and you are healthy, that a woman will show her nakedness, show her laps, show what? You may not touch her physical, but you'll be battling with, even if you close your eye, it will enter vision. Satan knows it. It's not pretending. It's a battle. I bind you. I scatter you. I will not lust in Jesus' name. You are actually lost. You're only trying to refuse that you are lost. Well, if not, why is it a prayer point? And so what did he do? If a naked women just try by all means just naked herself, and I know they will drive them away. Nobody will allow them to come in. So it has to start with. It started by removing headgear. The hair is the covering. Because it's going to introduce attachments. So that everybody will copy and look like the world. So you have to remove the hair and the cover now. So he succeeded. Gently. Blind pastors. We are continuing. When the Bible is clear, a woman praying is church order. Praying or prophesying with her head uncovered. You will hear people saying, he said head. Now he didn't say hair. He didn't say hair. Yeah, covering. Okay, the man, uncle, why don't the men come to church with cap on? Is this next verse a man praying or prophesying with his head covered? Is that not why all churches, including those Pentecostal churches where they allow women to open their hair, no man enters there with cap on? That is the same scripture. But it was a satanic agenda with the satanic gospel. They removed the hair. They removed it. When that was established, he went further. Amen. All of a sudden, they started they started with the skirt. The length of the skirt reduced above the knee first. And the pastors promoting those apostles of Satan were saying, "You look good, you look good. It's grace. Grace, God is good." Okay, now. So they exposed up to the knee. Okay. Small time, the skirt became tight. So that we're tight. And they don't just come and sit down. They must find their way to the choir. Because that is where they will stand before the whole church to see. That day they come, they must give special number. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then, it was a season, you know, those of us who are old enough, we were seeing this, oh, the transformation, oh, everywhere. Oh, we were seeing it. Oh, we were not Christian, but we were seeing it. Oh, because it was a fashion trend. And before you know what, a woman with dress, with a skirt above her knees, then tear the back. Do you think that woman is normal? Tear the back. And then come to church. Remember, the skirt is tight. The skirt is short. Now it tear the back. So that then, to crown it up, to achieve the purpose of that design, he wear high heel shoe. Little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little, women stop wearing shimmy. Men, are you not wearing singlet? Has it ever stopped? Our mothers in the village, they know they wear sheep. But here. Hey, but that one is underwear. There is a reason. There is a reason why. Why they stop wearing shimmy. There is a fashion on the way coming. That shimmy must be removed first. Then the top of that skirt is now shortened. Shortened. Then, that is of all the, they don't wear that cloth to walk. They wear it only to church. Because in the church, they are going to say, lift up your hands and let's worship the Lord. So that the belly will show. Little by little, little by little, little by little, he undressed them and it became a doctrine. Which doctrine? The doctrine of it doesn't matter. It matters before, but now it doesn't matter. Hey, I am the Lord, I change it not. What God hates yesterday, he still hates it today. Still hates it today. You must catch it. And unfortunately, many of us don't know that the agenda against the Church of Jesus Christ is a serious one. Many of you don't know it. So you don't know what to watch. Not all Israel are of Israel. Not everyone that is in Israel is of that promise to be prince with God. Israel is prince with God. A prince with God, hallelujah, is a product of a promise. It's a product of a promise. Cain and Abel. Cain was not part of the promise. Ishmael and Isaac, the same father, the same house, the same compound. All of them, they bear Abraham as their surname. But the promise was not for Ishmael. In the church of Jesus Christ, there are wheat and tares. The promise for the rapture is not for the tares. It's for the wheat, but they are all in the church. That is why, as the end is coming, there shall be separation. There shall be separation. That is why you see the story of the corn plant parable in Mark chapter 4. The plant is planted, is the church. You read it from verse 26. It's the church. It grows different stages until it reaches the last stage. The evidence that it is time for harvest is the evidence that the fruit, the seed that was planted, is formed again after it went all through those processes of time. He said, let both grow together in Matthew 13 and verse 30 until the harvest. Then he will send his reapers to separate the wheat one side, and they are taking them to heaven. The tares in the church of Jesus Christ, they will burn them up with the soon coming fire. Because in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30, what did Jesus Christ say there? He said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. He did not plant you in the church. He will uproot them. That is the separation time. That is the parable you see in verse 47 of Matthew 13. The fishing net.
Again.
Cut all manner of things, and there must be separation. They begin to sort them out. Not every fish is going home with the fisherman. Not everything inside that net of the gospel will go to heaven. There must be separation. That's why in introducing Jesus Christ in Matthew 3 verse 11, Jesus Christ said something, verse 11 and verse 12. Let's read it.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Listen very well.
Whose fan?
He has a fan in his hand. And what will he do?
And he will thoroughly purge his
floor. He will purge his floor. Here is the church.
And gather his wheat into the garner.
That is for the rapture.
But it will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
The chaff will face the judgment, the wrath to come. Fire. Fire. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Listen to
now,
31.
We brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman.
What did the scripture say?
Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. You know, Apostle Paul was referring to law and grace. Grace free us from the bondage of the law. He was telling the Jews. And that Ishmael was a product of bondage. But the free woman, the church of Jesus Christ, we are free from the law, the bondage of the law, to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He said, we will not, and then, and you know that that it is also talking of the denominational system. They're a product of man's ideas. I have explained it. Amen. But there is a church that is led by the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And who are those that persecute the other? It is always error. It is always error that persecutes truth. Church history. What did Jesus do to them that they all hated him like that? What did the apostles do that they were killing them? The early church believers, why were they persecuting them like that? There were also Jews that were persecuting them. So that you understand. My brother from Gabon, where are you? I think I saw you. Okay, God bless you. He was telling me yesterday, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He said that the inter-message churches in Gabon, if the pastor there gets to know that you watch Bright TV in Gabon, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. And so those who have seen the truth, they have emptied. Churches are breaking because they are hearing something from Bright Television. Those of you sponsoring the Bright TV, can you see the effect? Hallelujah. Counter what I am saying with a better truth now. Amen. In Nigeria here, they don't want to hear my name. Amen. Do you see any of them coming to any of our program here? No. But anytime I want to find trouble, when they are having, I will show my face there. And they will be hugging me, Brother Mo. They are trying to act Christianity. Behind me, they want their members. Don't go near there. But our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. And through victory is ours, who we are chained down in the past. A true jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original. Hallelujah. Many pastors, especially upcoming ones, you are looking for association to join. That's why you lower the bar of the gospel so that you can fit into the group. Unfortunately, I'm not looking for any group to belong. Neither am I forming any group to be a leader. I am preaching what God has shown me. If you like, believe. If it is the truth, you will reap the result. Amen. And I am open for you, church members, to judge me. That's why I say, ask a question. The whole world, ask a question. If I'm not sure what I'm preaching, will I tell you? How many pastors agree that to happen? Because in asking me, I may learn something from you. Iron sharpened iron. But if I'm not sure, I will not be saying yeah, the way I'm doing. I've gone on television, I say, come, let's talk on air. And one group came from Abuja. I am coming with Bible. They are coming with sermon books. So you will know how that meeting will end. Praise the Lord. One great movement man I met one time, Ekanka, was abusing the Bible this way. So, okay now. So I told him now we are going to argue. But what will be the authority that will confirm the truth? Who is right and who is wrong? You are holding to Ekanka, I'm holding to the Bible. You don't even have regards to my Bible. You say my Bible is not complete. So I say, sir, don't you think we are wasting our time discussing? Can we talk the business that brought me here? There are some arguments that are just a waste of time. If you like, if you don't like. But I know. Now what we're saying here is opening people's eyes. I believe it. I believe it. Like Israel, not all Christians are of Christ. Because John chapter 6 verse 37, I'll soon round up. John chapter 6 verse 37, let's read it. 38, 39, even up to verse 40 if we can.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Who gave him?
The Father.
Who gave him?
The Father.
Who gave him?
The Father.
Can you see now why he said elect cannot be lost? All shall come to me.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at
all
the last day.
All he has given me.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up.
But
the last
question
day.
Is, he said, all that the Father giveth to me, it simply means there are some that it's not the Father that gave him. It's simple now if you are studying. That's why he said, not all Israel are of Israel. Not all Christians are of Christ. Because if it is the Father that has given you as a sheep to him as a shepherd, then you'll understand John 10, 27. Let's read it.
My sheep hear my voice.
The sheep that the Father gave him, the identity is they will hear, they will identify the voice of their shepherd.
And I know them and they follow me.
He knows them. He knows them and they follow him because there is something about them that enables them to identify Christ as their shepherd. So that you understand Matthew 7, 21. Read it.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Can you see the impact of that statement now? Go ahead.
But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?
What did he say?
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk.
So you cannot understand now. He says, my sheep know my voice and I know them. But there are some other ones that act like the sheep of God. You may act, but does he know you? How do I know he knows me? It's because I know his voice and it is a voice of truth. There is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error in the church. There's something in the make of the followers of Jesus Christ that is the spirit of truth that identifies truth anywhere they see it and rejects error anywhere they see it. That's why they cannot be lost. It is aided by the ministry of the watchman in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. Isaiah, let's read it. Isaiah 62.
I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence.
We will not keep silence. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 8, what did he say?
Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion.
Oh, glory be to God. These watchmen are those that the book of Jeremiah, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15.
And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Again.
And I will give you pastors according to my heart.
What will they do?
Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
That is what we are doing here. Of course, every pastor is impacting a knowledge. Knowledge of truth or knowledge of error. And he said, I will give. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. That is it. He gave.
And he gave apostles, and some prophets, uh-huh. and some evangelists, uh-huh. and some pastors uh-huh. and teachers.
For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
The perfection of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Till when?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of
Christ. Because our destiny is to be conformed to the image. How do you know that what I am preaching is of God? It's not because I am showing you Bible. I'm showing you. The words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, they are spirit and they are life. Listen very well. God will not back up my own agenda. God will only back up his own program. I can be saying, come back to the Bible, come back to the Bible, but with a different motive, because I want to use the Bible to hit you at something. Listen very well. The evidence that you have met truth has life. It will affect your spiritual life. If what we are preaching here does not affect your spiritual life, your spiritual well-being, does not improve your relationship with God, then what we are doing here, we are only doing rhetorics, motivational speaking. This sign, what did he say? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, what did he say?
And he said unto them, go ye unto the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
He that believe, if God has sent me, and he sent us, evangelist, pastor, all of us that preach the gospel, all of us around the world, all of you with churches online looking at me now, wherever you are listening to this message, or you will listen to this message. What is the evidence that you are preaching the gospel and the people believed? It will not be the size of your church. It will not be how many people are in your church. What did he say will be the sign that we follow them, that we believe what I am preaching? What did he say?
In my name shall they cast out devils.
They that believe what I preach will cast out devils.
They shall speak with new tongues.
They will be operating gifts. There will be evidence of the manifestation of God among us.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing,
I say it again. If what we are preaching, you believe what I am preaching, because if you believe it, there are actions that will show you believe. That is where repentance comes in. You will repent. You will repent. A lot of bad things you used to do before will stop. Because there is a knowledge that comes upon you that makes you know that if you don't take time, now play, if I die today, they go hello. You'll be convicted and you'll ask God to help you. This sign shall follow them, not the preacher. Not the preacher. Listen, the preacher is only a witness. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, disciples of Jesus Christ, listen. And then you will be my witnesses. So wait in the upper room first. So what am I witnessing? I am witnessing that Jesus is alive. I saw him. You can see him too. He can change a club boy to a night vigil boy. I am the evidence. Amen. Praise the Lord. He can change. Do you believe? Do you you believe? Amen. See, if you have received Christ, like I receive, and I tell you, this is what will happen because I am a witness. If you receive the same Christ like I receive, if you come to church, you will not be sleeping like this young man here. When they were prophesying, he was clapping. Now that I am preaching, you don't sleep, they go. There's something about the spirit of truth. It gets excited when it is hearing truth. Where will the sleep come from? Where will the sleep come from? Can't you see some people with barrel and paper? Because they are going home to look at what this man is saying again. Praise the Lord. Some are saying, no, I will go back to YouTube. I will listen to it all over. Make I not write, miss any point. That's so that they drink them. That's so that they drink them. Brethren, any pastor, any church you attend, and number one, you are not seeing these signs manifesting in the church. Hey, the church, they are not believers. Thus said the Bible. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge the pastors that are hearing me now. Pastor, I don't know. What will I do? How will I do? Are you a witness? Did I not teach you here that Jesus can heal? Did he not heal even today? Has he not been healing here every week? Eh? Did I say I am the only one that have the mandate? Eh? I say it is believers. I am a believer. So I lay hand on the sick shall recover. You too, are you not a believer? Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Amen. It is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that will make all of you sit down. Did you notice that I didn't want to waste people's time with the healing? I would have told you, stop. Then call that man here. They do demonstration. Then I would have called Emmanuel. They do demonstration. Amen. But we came here to worship. Today is Sunday. We came to worship. Let everybody participate. Let nobody stand there. They clap for me. But they must testify for somebody to know that Jesus is here. Because somebody else will connect. Father, I have the same problem. If you heal him, they heal me too. Bah! The healing will take place. Oh, praise the Lord. That is the evidence is here. Not the one that said, let me see Pastor Moses. Let me see Pastor Moses. Let me, if I can just see Pastor Moses. Instead of Pastor Moses, you are looking for the man of God. Instead of looking for the God of the man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when your case is mentioned, be humbled. I mentioned your case on Friday night. I stood here, oh, who has this message? You refuse to come. Praise the Lord. Then when I cut off, you are now coming. And to me, that was pride. When it is time for your visitation, if they say, sit down, sit down. Jump up, jump up. Let the problem go. That's why I say, when you come to Christ, be like a little child. Be like a little child. Because the unction left. Not that I have left you. I've been asking the Lord to have mercy on you. Because the reason you didn't come out was pride. You don't want people to know you have such a problem. Then why did God mention it openly? Anytime your case is mentioned, it is the end. Case closed. Do you believe it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen very well. God hates pride. And pride can manifest in any other way. You may disguise in the spirit of shame. But God may be looking at it as pride. You see people, we went to Jos, Prophet Joseph. Prophet Joseph picked pastor, overseer of a church, and was discerning a problem he has. He has not told anybody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Overseer of a church. Yes, the man shouted, hey, fell down the ground. God has remembered me today. Overseer of a church. He said, nobody knows his problem. We've been hiding it. Overseer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's okay. I don't know, when I touch you, I saw something. So I remembered Friday. When I touch you, I saw something. Amen. Then I remember, it's the same brother that didn't come out on Friday. But God will deliver you. I said, God will deliver you. Praise the Lord. He will deliver you. But I am preaching now. I'm not doing deliverance. You shall know the truth. Now, deliverance is another angle. Another angle. Follow who no road. Now we try to talk. Sister Osas in Austria. You call me on Sunday evening. You say, hey, I was in church. He said, Pastor, you travel. Hey, we close very early because you travel. She was clapping hands. So, make her close now. He said, as you left, Olumide close on 1 o'clock, chap, we close. He said, that is how they say, Pastor, no day. He said, hey, you didn't hear me now from Austria. So, now because of you, I won't close now. May you not call me after, say, you see, now you come, now we're not close in time. We shall continue next Sunday. Stand up. Praise the Lord. You know, they are in Europe. So time means so much to them. Maybe they say, make them hurry. That is why when Olumide finished preaching, they go send offering for them. Okay. Don't worry, I will soon know how to talk like him and compress my message so that I will close at the time we are. Maybe somebody too will be so happy that I release him in time and they will give me offering. Hey, I didn't look at time. I don't know, say we don't pass 1 o'clock. Thank God. We have only 3 babies to dedicate. Can we stand up? Bring out your offering. Bring out your offering. Offering. Offering.